So I guess the question here is, in a patient like this, is it time for ruxolitinib?
Exactly the question. And truly, this is an individual that is intermediate one by DIPSS standards, and very much according with our current NCCN guidelines, a very appropriate patient to consider ruxolitinib. Significant spleen, significant symptoms, and difficulty with symptoms from the disease. So this patient began on ruxolitinib. As I share with my colleagues, when we think about myelofibrosis, there's two complementary things I consider. The first is risk. And when I speak of risk, it truly is an estimation of survival, with the risk scores continuing to evolve. And here, this individual had a couple of the risk factors present, being older, over than age 65, and having difficult symptoms. However, as I think about treatment decisions, I think about the burden of disease with several different parameters. Are they symptomatic? In this case, yes. Do they have significant splenomegaly? Again, in this case, yes. Do they have anemia, signs of progression, or acute leukemia? And none of those really were an active feature. So splenomegaly and symptoms, I chose to begin him on ruxolitinib.
How did he feel about the idea of starting therapy after having been observed for a while?
I think he really was quite eager for it, to be honest. He had been reading online, as patients do. I'd been feeling that he had been deteriorating and was eager to begin something to hopefully have an impact on the disease and help him feel better.
Was he working? What was he doing with his life?
He was retired. He, like many patients with MF, had chosen to retire early because of concerns of his disease.
So maybe we can kind of walk through some of the issues that this case brings up, beginning with this issue of frontline treatment.
So I think the first question in MF, as I had mentioned, is really assessing the risk for the patient and the burden. And frontline therapy in MF, we have one FDA-approved therapy, and that is ruxolitinib. And it's indicated in individuals as we think about the different risk levels. Our current NCCN guidelines, of which I was a participant in developing those, there was consensus that individuals who are low risk but who are significantly symptomatic will benefit from initiating ruxolitinib therapy. Individuals who are intermediate one, we think an intervention is appropriate and depends a bit on why they are intermediate one. If they're intermediate one only because of anemia, we sometimes consider therapies that can be utilized for anemia, such as erythropoietin-stimulating agents, danazol, or an IMID. Individuals who have significant splenomegaly or symptoms, such as this individual, might really benefit from ruxolitinib. Individuals that are intermediate one solely because they are over age 65, if are otherwise well, we may still choose to observe. Individuals that are intermediate two or higher risk, we think the first question is, should we pursue a stem cell transplant? And that's a complex decision based on their age, the presence of a donor, the willingness or aggressiveness of the patient to undergo more aggressive therapy, and increasingly being influenced by the molecular mutation panel that the patient has and what that suggests about their risk. All of that said, probably less than 10% of patients with myelofibrosis undergo stem cell transplant in 2018. And because of that, we certainly use ruxolitinib as our primary agent in these patients. On the basis of the COMFORT studies, we know that in intermediate two and high-risk patients, ruxolitinib was effective in decreasing splenomegaly and symptoms and likely helps to improve survival in these patients when compared with historical data.